Is it Mr. Kidd?
Yes, sir.
Good morning to you. You may approach. And you may proceed.
May it please the court. My name is Jason Kidd, and I'm here on behalf of the Petitioner Farmers Cooperative Association on the petition for further review that was granted by this court. By way of a little bit of background, this case was initially heard before the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Court. Court, following hearing and review of evidence, entered an award, which essentially found that Mr. Kidd had sustained a very minor injury as a result of his work accident, and proceeded from there. Mr. Hintz then appealed to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals entered a decision finding that the trial court was clearly erroneous in basing their determination on lack of medical causation, and reversed and remanded the case for further review by the trial court. We then petitioned for further review. Essentially, this case comes down to some factual issues and the question of whether the Court of Appeals overstepped their authority in finding that the trial court had clearly erred in their initial determination. By way of just a little bit of factual background, Mr. Hintz sustained an injury on November 13th, 2014. That was not disputed. He did not seek any treatment. He continued to work full-time, full duty for about 4 weeks after the accident. Did not seek any treatment during that period of time. That was corroborated by the wage history and by the testimony of a couple of co-workers at trial. Mr. Hintz then sought treatment on December 5th of 2014, and at that time, he indicated that his pain had started the day before. He indicated that the cause of the pain was a slip and fall going up steps at his home. He did admit that he had a work injury about 4 weeks prior, but told the doctor, and I quote, "I was able to return to work jumping on and off trucks without any difficulty," end quote. Thereafter, he applied for some short-term disability. In the short-term disability forms, he indicated that this was an injury that occurred at home. He got an opinion from Dr. Harris, who is also the doctor who gave his causation opinion. And in that short-term disability report from Dr. Harris indicated that this was that had occurred at home and was not work-related.
So what evidence have you got that it was work-related?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
What evidence do you have that it was work-related?
Well, the evidence that was initially put in that it was work-related was a subsequent report by Dr. Harris on May 18, 2015. That's Exhibit 8, pages 1 and 2. Therein, Dr. Harris notes that Mr. Hintz's version of events had changed over time, notes that he had had some discussions with Mr. Hintz and found that it was more reasonable that Mr. Hintz sustained the injury that he had discovered during surgery as a result of the November 13th work accident and not the December 4th accident at home. Now, the trial court considered that report and basically dismissed it for lacking a credible foundation. And the reasoning was that Mr. Hintz's statements had changed over about 6 months of treatment. So he didn't actually report this as a work-related injury. I'm sorry. He didn't report this treatment as being work-related until about April 1st of 2015, and that was shortly after he was terminated from his employer. So he had gone through 5 months of treatment. There's no mention that it's work-related. No mention that this had occurred at work. No mention that he was having any limitations as a result of the work accident. Nothing about this being work-related.
Did the Workers' Compensation Court make a finding of fact?
The Workers' Compensation
with respect to causation, that this had resolved in 3 days? And
yes.
Okay.
Yes. Basically, what the trial court had determined was that this had resolved in 3 days, and that was evidenced by the four weeks of no treatment, 4 weeks of full-duty work, and then Mr. Hintz's own statements to his medical providers that this was a new injury that had occurred on December 4th, 2015. And it wasn't until December 4th, 2014, and this wasn't anything that he reported as being work-related until April 1st of 2015.
So the Court of Appeals, they reversed under the fourth prong. Is that the findings of fact by the compensation court do not support the order of the award, is that?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Would you say that the worker had materially altered his testimony to meet the exigencies of the situation in order to obtain relief?
Yeah, that's exactly what we believe, and that's what we believe was testified to at trial by the employer witnesses and the evidence that was submitted at trial. Now, trial court in their award went through a long discussion of all the evidence and all the records. It's a big stack of records that they went through. And then the Court of Appeals didn't discuss really any of the records other than Dr. Harris's causation opinion, which was a 2-page record, and Dr. Gallantine's deferral to Dr. Harris. And Dr. Gallantine was kind of the treating physician, referred to Dr. Harris, and Dr. Harris is the doctor who did surgery. So there's about 3 or 4 pages of medical records that the Court of Appeals seized upon. Those are the records, the only records that they appear to have considered as part of their opinion. Don't appear to have considered any of the factual testimony that was discussed in front of the trial judge. Don't give any credence to the trial court's, didn't give any deference to the trial court's opinions or determinations based on the evidence that was adduced.
What did the Court of Appeals opinion say about the records review?
Well, that's interesting because the records review wasn't even discussed at the trial court level. Basically, the trial court found that, given the inconsistencies and the lack of credibility by the plaintiff, that Dr. Harris's opinions, which were based on testimony by the plaintiff, didn't have credibility, and so he threw that out, and because he threw that opinion out, he didn't think that the plaintiff had presented any evidence which found causation in his favor. And so the trial court doesn't even discuss the records review done by Dr. Bozar. The Court of Appeals does discuss it in some detail and essentially have enshrined a new legal principle which would favor treating physicians over doctors who do medical records reviews, which is something totally new in workers' compensation and, practically speaking, will create even more difficulty for injured workers getting treatment because you're going to have people fighting to get another surgeon in there to look. If you're going to give deference to a surgeon as to their opinions carry the weight over anything, that no insurance company and no employer is ever going to approve anything unless they can get their own doctor in there and look at it at the same time that the surgeon is to make sure that we've got all our ducks in a row.
Your view of what the Court of Appeals did wrong was enunciate a principle of law with which you disagree?
No, I feel like they overstepped their standard of review and found that when they found that the trial judge was clearly erroneous in his initial determinations. We believe there is substantial evidence in the trial records to support his decision. I think that's further evidenced by the fact that pretrial, this is in the pretrial memorandum, plaintiff was arguing that there was no reasonable controversy and that they should be awarded a penalty and attorney's fees. Following the deduction of evidence, we entered into a stipulation that there was a reasonable controversy and that this wasn't a case where penalties, interest, or attorney's fees should apply.
Do you read the Court of Appeals opinion to say that an opinion of a doctor doing a records review is not competent because that individual has not examined the patient?
Yes, that's exactly how I read it. And beyond that, it appears to state that you can't base an opinion off of the statements of the injured person in formulating your opinions either. So it's kind of a double-edged sword where it basically requires an examination. Even in a situation where a person may have reached maximum medical healing and there's really no reason for someone to be examined because all the significant treatment has taken place and is in medical records that had occurred 2 to 3 years prior.
Meaning what, a current exam wouldn't be productive?
Correct.
Okay.
What would the practical effect of that be in the workers' compensation court context, given the number of record reviews that are presented to the court?
Yeah, it's going to create significant issues because it's already very difficult to get an independent medical examination cleared by a competent doctor in the short time frame which we're operating on a normal workers' compensation claim basis. And we're usually 6 to 7 months from the time the petition is filed to the time that we go to trial. And so if you think three months of discovery, then you're scrambling to try to get an opinion from a qualified doctor in time for trial. I know practically I'm scheduling exams with doctors that I think are competent into October and November presently, and so that just delays everything, especially if we are talking about needing to be there and physically examine someone when they're under the knife in a surgical setting, then that causes even more delays on that aspect of it. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. Mr. Tast, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honors.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, opposing counsel, Your Honors, my name is Rick Tast, and on behalf of Anderson Krieger, which I'm arguing on behalf of Mr. Hintz this morning, the Court of Appeals, contrary to Mr. Kidd's argument, did not misapply the clear error standard. What they did do in this case is they weighed the evidence in the light most favorable to Farmers, and nonetheless, they correctly found in favor of Mr. Hintz. I believe that Mr. Kidd's argument at heart goes to the fact that the Court of Appeals attempted to somehow substitute its judgment, the Court of Appeals somehow attempted to substitute its judgment for the Workers' Compensation Court.
Did they make credibility determinations?
They did make credibility determinations as well, but they made credibility determinations based on the entire record, and I think that's one of the things that's most important. Now, Mr. Kidd provided some background to the case regarding the injury and then the subsequent working.
Counsel, when the Court of Appeals makes the comment that reviewing medical records is not competent evidence, isn't that the standard anymore, that when people, like personal injury or anything, they send the records off to an independent doctor and get an evaluation? Isn't that the norm?
Yes, Your Honor, it is the norm.
So how's that not competent?
I believe what the Court of Appeals had said when they said that Dr. Bozar's testimony wasn't competence, they had said the sufficiency of an expert's opinion is judged in the context of the expert's entire statement. Now, important to note in this case, the few pages provided by Dr. Galantine and Dr. Harris. Dr. Galantine was the treating physician. Dr. Harris was the operating surgeon. He's the one that had Mr. Hintz on the operating table. He's the one served his labor through the arthroscope. He had the front row seat to the injury that happened. And Dr. Harris determined that the injury he saw was consistent with a high velocity injury, not a trip up the stairs.
Does that mean no other doctor could possibly disagree with that conclusion who hadn't been in there and seen the injury?
No, it doesn't. But getting back to Justice Kelch's question, what the Workers' Compensation Court had said that Dr. Bozarth's opinion was based on the relevant medical records, but it wasn't based on the case as a whole. Dr. Bozarth didn't have the benefit of that letter from Dr. Harris saying that the injury I saw was more likely related to a traumatic injury versus a fall up the stairs. And Dr. Bozarth also didn't have the benefit of the letter from Dr. Galantine.
Well, counsel, that goes to credibility and whose evidence you give more credibility to. But to make a broad statement that type of evidence is not competent, there's a big difference between competent and credibility. Competent means that evidence shouldn't have been reviewed at all when you say it's not competent.
And I don't necessarily believe that the Court of Appeals said that it's not competent as a whole. But I think what they said is that in this particular case, given all the evidence that exists, given the opinion of Dr. Galantine, given the opinion of the treating surgeon of Dr. Harris, and then given the opinion of Dr. Bozar, who done the review, when you look at all three of those together, the fact that you would find that Dr. Bozar's evidence was more competent than the treating physician who did surgery and Dr. Galantine, who actually had seen the patient,
I think maybe that's where we're headed, Justice Kelch and I. More competent, I don't know what that means in terms of ability to testify.
Well, I think it comes down to clear error. And that's what happened here, is the bottom line is the Court of Appeals found, after looking at all the evidence, that clear error existed. That the Workers' Compensation Court, quite simply, got it wrong when you looked at all the evidence.
I'm not sure the Court of Appeals opinion suggests that Dr. Bozar's opinion was less competent than another. I think the phrasing is, Because Dr. Bozarth's opinion is not based on any medical conclusions, we conclude that his opinion does not constitute competent medical testimony. It threw out the entire opinion as incompetent, not a weighing thing like I understand you to be describing.
You're in or out customarily, but this goes back to law school and I'm old, but I was thinking you either competent to testify on the matter or you're not.
Correct, and I don't have any doubt that all three physicians are competent to testify. The issue in this case is that this was decided on the merits by the Court of Appeals. And on the merits, the Court of Appeals decided that when looking at the competent testimony of Dr. Harris, who performed the surgery, when looking at the competent testimony of Dr. Galantine, who treated Mr. Hansen, and when looking at the competent testimony of Dr. Bozarth, who reviewed the medical records, all of that as a whole, as well as the testimony that was offered by Mr. Hintz, including testimony that after the accident, after he was thrown back 10 to 15 feet from this explosion across the floor, he blacked out, he awoke to whistling in his ears, he felt hot flashes in his body, he couldn't feel either leg, eventually the feeling came back, he felt a pop in his right hip, he had pain in his groin and both hips. When looking at all that, the competent medical testimony of three doctors, as well as the testimony of Mr. Hintz, Court of Appeals determined on the merits that the Workers' Compensation Court got their decision wrong, that there was, in fact, causation that occurred on November 13, 2014, when Mr. Hintz was working and experienced a workplace injury, when that semi-tire exploded and threw him across that factory floor. And that causation, that workplace injury, was the causation of the labrum tear that he ultimately had that had to be corrected and that led to the resulting disability. And the Court of Appeals found that the Workers' Compensation Court was clearly wrong, and that's the standard that they use on appellate review. They cannot disturb the finding of fact from the Workers' Compensation Court unless it was clearly wrong. And I understand Mr. Kidd's argument and the issue that can come from the idea that if we say we're going to give preference to a treating physician over a reviewing physician, it can have effects on cases moving forward. But in this case, I don't believe that the Court of Appeals is saying we're giving treatment to preference to Dr. Harris and Dr. Galantine, Nebraska Orthopedic, because they were the ones that treated him. We're giving preference rather to looking at the entire case as a whole. And when we take that entire case as a whole, we see that the Workers' Compensation Court has plain and simply got it wrong.
Under our standard of review, under the standard of review the Court of Appeals was to apply, didn't they have to say, to reverse the trial court, that no reasonable finder of fact, based on the evidence, could have found the absence of causation?
Right. And I don't think any, not that I think, no reasonable trier of fact could have found the absence of causation. You have three board-certified orthopedic surgeons all opining on this case.
All with different opinions.
Similar.
Doesn't Dr. Galantine say, I can't make determination based on causation? I defer to Dr. Harris?
No, what Dr. Galantine said was either event, either the traumatic workplace injury or the fall on the stairs, could have caused the injury. I would defer to Dr. Harris because he had the best opportunity.
So he doesn't give an opinion as what caused it, does he?
No.
Okay.
But,
so we have two competing opinions, is that correct? Dr. Harris and Dr. Bozarth?
Dr. Harris and Dr. Bozarth. Right. And then we have a Dr. Galantine who doesn't draw one conclusion or the other, but indicates he would defer to the treating.
So you have two competing opinions. And the trial court accepts one opinion over the other, and our review, based upon the findings of the trial court, is for clear error or
what? Correct, Justice Wright, but I think...
Okay, so could the Court of Appeals have said that the Workers' Compensation Court was clearly wrong in accepting the opinion of one doctor over another?
Yes, they could, Justice Wright, because we're leaving out a very important fact. We don't have just two competing opinions. We have three physicians.
I don't think that helps you.
But it does, I believe, because that middle physician Dr. Gallantyne says it could be either or. It could be the fall of the stairs.
But the trial court accepted the opinion that he sustained a work-related injury.
But I think we're missing, we're not looking at the fact that Dr. Gallantyne, that middle doctor, defers to Dr. Harris.
Is that a competent opinion? To say, I can't, based on what I have in front of me, I can't offer an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty on causation, but I will defer to this other doctor. Is that competent?
I don't know, but Dr. Gallantyne didn't say that. Dr. Gallantyne said it could be either or. I would defer to Dr. Harris.
So you really have 1.5 and 1.5, don't you?
I think we have 1.4 and 1.6. That's what I personally think, Your Honor. But the bottom line is the case was decided by the Court of Appeals on the merit. The Court of Appeals decided that the Workers' Compensation Court was clearly wrong, that causation existed, that it was the workplace injury that caused Mr. Hintz's labrum tear, and Dr. Hintz's surgeon said that as well, that it was more likely than not the cause of the injury. For that reason, we'd ask you to affirm the Court of Appeals decision.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
No.
There is no time for rebuttal. Our next case of the day is State